Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself, my colleague and co-pilot. And we begin where it all begins, the dream of the moon, the dream of mankind on the moon. And we now turn to the New York Times, the real estate section, I believe. But in any event, it is about the future imagined. We can almost touch it. NASA's program is called Artemis. There are other big space and private space programs to return to the moon. However, now we, more than that, dwelling on the moon for extended periods of time, writes the New York Times. NASA is going to build houses on the moon, ones that can be used not just by astronauts, but ordinary civilians. NASA believes that by 2040, reports the New York Times, Americans will have their first subdivision in space. Living on Mars isn't far behind. I welcome Professor Chaim Ben-Aroy of Rutgers University, whom I dub now the Levittown of the Moon Manager, because of his book, Building Habitats on the Moon, Engineering Approaches to Lunar Settlements, published within these last years, prescient about NASA's ambitions, about China's ambitions, about private space's ambitions. That would be Mr. Musk and his colleagues. Professor, a very good evening to you. As I recall, let's go right to what can go wrong and why. The moon is covered with a dust, and the regolith of the moon is extremely dangerous, if I recall. It also doesn't clean well from spacesuits. It's poisonous, and it's sharp, as if you're handling glass. Do I say that all correctly? And having read this article, do you believe NASA's now working on that problem? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you very much for having me back. Everything you said is accurate and right to the point. So what we know about the lunar regolith is that it's electrostatically charged, which means that with slight disturbance, it'll start floating like a fog, and then it will attach to everything in its wake. Could be a spacesuit, could be a habitat. If there are machines digging, if there are robots, it would cling to those as well. And the regolith is also very, very fine, but jagged-edged, which means that once it works its way in, whether it's into a machine or into a human lung, it's there to stay, and it's there to do a lot of damage. So the regolith is very valuable. The other side of the coin is we have to develop technologies to handle it. And NASA has. NASA has been aware of the issues and has done a lot of research on how to handle it, knowing its properties.
If I follow you correctly, Professor, the regolith is a danger to human beings and also is a challenge to the robots, the robots that can help build such a settlement. But it has its uses. We'll get to the uses in a moment. To your knowledge, has NASA solved that threat of going outside and walking in the regolith? Do they have a way of bathing it off or securing your spacesuit once you come inside?
To my knowledge, there is no such technology yet. They know a lot more than they did 10 years ago, and they have some ideas taking advantage of the electrostatic charging, using magnetic fields, using spacesuits that are on the outside of the rovers, so astronauts never bring the spacesuits inside. So they have some workarounds, but it's a real issue. And if we're talking about 3D printing on the lunar surface, then the robots are basically in that regolith, and they're moving around all the time. And the challenge will be to keep that regolith off of them.
David, you have a question for the professor.
Yes. Good afternoon, Chaim. They're talking about building these houses out of the regolith and 3D printing. We know that the moon has moonquakes, which are similar to earthquakes. And having lived in earthquake country almost all my life, I'm wondering if you can seismically build secure structures out of regolith and 3D printing And is that actually an issue in building on the moon?
You bring a good point about the seismic activity. Most of the seismic activity is very tame by Earth standards. However, because of the properties of the moon itself, those moonquakes last about 10 times as long. And so those regolith-based structures will probably need a little bit of reinforcing to make sure that any seismic activity would not hinder the structural integrity of that habitat. So I would not say that the seismic activity is the primary danger to those habitats.
We go now to the other side of the coin of the regolith and the dust. There is a company called ICON. NASA's partnered with ICON. This is the New York Times reporting. A construction technology company based in Austin, Texas, to reach the 2040 goal. ICON has 3D printing, yes, but it's 3D printing to create a building material called lavacrete. That's a proprietary term. I don't know what it means, but are we looking at taking that dust and turning it into what? Something like plywood, Professor? Is that what how I should think of this?
I guess I would think of it more like toothpaste coming out of a tube. It comes out of a tube, and it's layered in the appropriate shape based on computer models, and then it hardens into an igloo kind of structure, you know, something that starts off soft so it could be placed and then hardens naturally.
Is it using the regolith, or is it using material that is transported to the moon? What's it using for the toothpaste?
Right. So usually when we do 3D printing, there's a local material like the regolith, and there's an additive always to allow it to get hard or to attain certain properties. So that material that hardens it, that special material that's added to the regolith, would likely be brought from Earth initially.
David, you have a question for the professor.
They have a timeline in that New York Times article. Do you think we are technologically ready to meet that timeline, given our levels of technology on doing this kind of stuff right now?
Well, they're projecting 2040 with building these 3D printed things on the surface of the moon. I think it's a very aggressive timeline, given where we are now. And basically, the challenge, not only with the technology and the regolith, as John and you were talking about, but also on the biological end, if we're going to have humans there, which I assume we're going to do if we're going to be building habitats, those humans have to survive in radiation environment. They have to survive in low G. Low G effects on humans are pretty devastating, as we see from the ISS. The radiation, of course, we can shield, but unless we're going to have people living indoors all the time without going onto the surface, even in spacesuits, I think we need to learn a lot more about the human physiology and human psychological aspects.
The moon is subject to bombardment routinely, meteorites, also cosmic rays, also all manner of negatives floating around. Does the regolith provide protection, the regolith with toothpaste additives turned into lavacrete? Is that adequate protection for human beings to walk around without wearing a preventive suit?
Right. We estimate that about 2 meters thick of regolith would provide shielding against the extremes in temperature and radiation. Not to the level of Earth, but to a significantly good level. And I think that probably will have to be the thickness of this lavacrete kind of 3D printed model. It can't just be a thin structure. It needs thickness.
So we're not looking at building tract houses like Levittown. We're looking at building something that resembles what? An igloo? A fortress?
Yes. An igloo, basically almost a bunker type of structure.
And you're digging into the regolith. You're going down. You're going sublunar in order to create this environment. So you're digging into the regolith. Does that add danger to this, being below the surface?
Well, if you could be below the surface, that regolith around you would provide additional shielding. Most likely, from what I read in this article, they're planning to place it right on the surface. So it would be just a surface structure, and they would build up from there, and they provide the necessary wall thickness and roof thickness to give that shielding that you were just describing.
David, you have a question.
Since this is surface structure, Chaim, Can you build on the moon with windows or skylights, or are you going to be in a structure with nothing to see out of?
If there are windows, which all the images that we see show, they would probably be very small. They can't be very large because of the issue of radiation, micrometeorites, and just temperature effects. So it would be a fairly closed off structure on the inside, and thereby all the psychological challenges of living in such a small, almost windowless structure.
Professor, you anticipated all of this with your books over these last years. Is there right now a beta anywhere on Earth? Is there anything comparable to regolith that we can experiment with?
NASA and others, a lot of the space agencies and private researchers have developed lunar simulant, which is basically using Earth materials to create something that duplicates certain properties of the regolith. And so researchers use those in place of actual lunar regolith to test ideas for 3D printing, for other kinds of uses, for example, creating fuel, creating oxygen for various purposes. So that is available.
So right now we have something that approximates regolith so that we can test out these theories of how a human being would survive in a lavacrete igloo.
That's right. In fact, ICON has, with NASA, has built a facility that duplicates what might be on Mars with a few rooms to just test how people would psychologically feel in a very small quarters like they would experience on the moon and Mars. For over a year, they'll be sitting in there and I guess doing experiments.
Let's go to Mars, because this article, NASA is talking about the moon as first a development, but also as a pit stop on your way to Mars. We're speaking with Professor Chaim Ben-Arroya of Rutgers University. His book is Building Habitats on the Moon: Engineering Approaches to Lunar Settlements. It's available on Amazon. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. We're speaking of NASA, the Artemis program, and the ambitions right now, but on to Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.